From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For some time, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. He has now reached the concluding book, that which bears the title, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He has briefly explained the various methods of interpreting Revelation, but his main focus is on the book's chief emphasis and its central figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. Leaving aside all speculation about the symbols and the characters which appear in the book, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the message of Christ to the seven churches. This book forms the Savior's last word to his churches. It teaches us to live on earth in the light of what the Lord is doing in heaven. It is the message of the victory of Christ over Satan and his hosts. There are three principal divisions to the book of Revelation. Christ is glorified, Christ is ruling, and Christ is returning. In the light of these truths, Christ's people can rejoice, because we overcome in his victory and will reign with him. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, Revelation, the Unveiling of Christ. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Food and Rest. The text is Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Under the divine shepherdry, saints are fed to the full. Theirs is not a windy, unsatisfying mess of mere human thought, but the Lord feeds them upon the solid, substantial truth of divine revelation. There is real nutriment for the soul in Scripture brought home to the heart by the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself is the true life-sustaining food of believers. Here our great shepherd promises that such sacred nourishment shall be given by his own self. If on the Lord's day our earthly shepherd is empty-handed, the Lord is not. When filled with holy truth, the mind rests. Those whom Jehovah feeds are at peace. No dog shall worry them. No wolf shall devour them. No restless propensity shall disturb them. They shall lie down and digest the food which they have enjoyed. The doctrines of grace are not only sustaining, but consoling. In them we have the means for building up and lying down. If preachers do not give us rest, let us look to the Lord for it. This day may the Lord cause us to feed in the pastures of the Word, and make us to lie down in them. May no folly and no worry, but meditation and peace mark this day.
shades of death, thy presence is my stay.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Thank you. You see, the book of the Revelation is Christ's last word to his church. And this last word, and this I think is vitally important, you'll have to make the application yourself. As I say, time does not permit me to do a lot with these things this morning. But Christ's last word to his church is an unveiling of himself. I would to God the church of Christ today would get back to that simple yet sublime and basic truth. When Christ has something to say to the church, he talks about himself. When the Holy Spirit has something to say to the church, he speaks about Christ. Why on earth then are so many preachers wasting so much of their time and leading so many people up so many bypath meadows talking about everything else under the sun, save about the Lord Jesus Christ? This unveiling of Christ is a vision to encourage the church, to instruct her, to guide her, and to keep her faithful to her Lord and to her Master. The book of the Revelation was never meant to be a handbook of extravagant end time speculations. Now let me make it clear, I believe this is a book that has a message about the end time. It is a book that has a message for people in the end time. But its basic purpose is to point God's people to Christ at all times. That is the purpose of the book. So don't use this book of the Revelation to focus on the beast and on the dragon, etc. Oh, you'll find these and other figures all here. But each of them must be seen in the light of Christ, the great central figure. Now that's all too easy to overlook and forget. We get caught up when we read this book. We get caught up with the fantastic imagery. And we try to visualize. In fact, some people have been foolish enough even to take their artistic talents and try to reproduce as a painting John's visions. I don't think that apocalyptic visions were ever meant to become works of art. But anyway, this is what people try to do. They try to visualize what John describes. Now, if you try that, you'll find it surpassingly difficult. Here are lampstands with stars in the middle of them. Not exactly where you look for the night sky, but that's what it is in the vision. Here there are horses and their riders. Here we read of living creatures in heaven and wild beasts on earth. We read of a woman clothed with the sun and of the great red dragon, her adversary. We read of a beast with seven heads and 10 horns and a woman riding upon his back. By the way, I am very tempted to stop off there, because there, in that one line, is the key to just about everything that is happening in the world today and that Bible teachers are doing their best to overlook. But that's another story. Here we read of a book with 7 seals. When they're broken up, tremendous things happen. And there are 7 trumpets and 7 vials. We read of an army of locusts like battle horses, but with faces like men and hair like women. And their king is Apollyon, who is the angel of the bottomless pit. Here we read of Babylon, the harlot of the beast, and the New Jerusalem, the bride of the Christ. Now these are vivid images. And in the midst of such vivid symbolism, we are tempted to isolate each of these things and to try and visualize and try to explain each thing as if it stood alone. And that's a great mistake, because, and never forget this when you read the book of the Revelation, the role and the meaning of every character in this drama can only be understood in its relation to the great central character, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with all that in mind, how can we state the central message of the book? Remember, this was written to 7 churches in Asia. Now, through them, it's written to the whole church of Christ, just as the rest of the New Testament. But since it was addressed to the 7 churches in Asia, it had a message for them in their day. A message indeed that goes away beyond their day and reaches to the end of the age. But nonetheless, it had to have an immediate impact upon the people to whom it was written. And if you remember that, you've only got to ask yourself, what was this saying to the Christians in these 7 churches? Now, read the epistles to the 7 churches, and you'll find that they were in a great variety of circumstances and facing many different kinds of problems in this world. And as you look at that background to all that follows, this is what the book is saying. It's a wonderful message. What is now happening? This is the message. What is now happening in the world is not the last word. Those who are now in authority and who rule have not the final power. Behind all the events of earth, there is a great spiritual conflict. And in that spiritual conflict, Jesus Christ is the mighty conqueror. And as the mighty conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ is executing the purpose of God in all the developing affairs of time. What is that purpose of God? According to this book, it is nothing more or less than the continuation and then the consummation of the same purpose of God as we see at Calvary. It's the same work continued and led to its consummation. And that consummation will be reached when Jesus, who died and rose again, returns in great glory. Now that's the central message of the book. It's very easily stated. It's not an academic theory. And I emphasize that because, you see, this is a book that has become such a battleground for theories that we are so focused upon the theory that we miss the Christ. This is not an academic theory. These people to whom this book was written were living people of real flesh and blood. They were fighting real battles. They were facing real enemies. They were suffering real persecution. They were enduring real trouble. And they needed something as the final word of Christ to his church before he comes again. They needed something to touch them, to encourage them, and to lead them on with God. This then is a book with a vital message, and it gives us grace to go on with God to the final victory. And as it does so, it teaches us, if I could put it this way, it teaches us to live on earth in the light of what the Lord is doing in heaven. Now underline that. Write it over the whole book of the Revelation. And if you don't understand all the imagery and all the symbolism, then so be it. It would be wonderful to understand it all. But if we don't understand that, at least we can understand this. This is a book that is teaching us that we have to learn to live on earth in the light of what the Lord is doing in heaven. Why do I say that? Well, when you read this book the next time, just notice carefully how the scene constantly alternates between heaven and earth. Scene on earth, immediately followed by a scene in heaven. Immediately followed by a scene in earth. Immediately followed by another scene in heaven. This is how it goes throughout the book, from heaven to earth, to heaven to earth, to heaven to earth. And that is not an accident, that is deliberate. And it yields us a major lesson. You see, what is occurring on earth is not just happening. It's not accidental. It's not out of control. Oh, it may be as far as man is concerned, but what is happening on earth is the result of what is going on in heaven. That's the teaching of this book. Very naturally, since we're on the earth, We tend to fasten our eyes upon what we can physically discern, what we can understand as happening around about us. But things are not what they seem. Understand it. Things are not what they seem. I said I would strike a note of harmony. In studying the book of the Revelation, the greatest blessing I received from commentators comes from two men at extremes of the interpretational division. And I don't agree completely with either of them. I think they're both wrong. And yet, I must say, what they have to say exalts the Savior and gets to the heart of the real book. I refer to a dispensationalist by the name of J. Sidlow Baxter, whose outline of the book is the three enthronements of Christ. And anybody whose heart doesn't thrill to see that in the book of the Revelation, I think hardly has a heart. The other is William Hendrickson, who is an idealist interpreter or an amillennialist, far from a dispensationalist. And he also takes the centrality of Christ. On this very point of things not being what they seem, Hendrickson makes this tremendous statement. He says, "The theme of the book is the victory of Christ and of his people over the dragon, Satan, and his helpers. The beast that comes out of the abyss seems to be victorious. In reality, it is the believer who triumphs. Throughout the prophecies of this wonderful book, the Christ is ever pictured as the victor, the conqueror. He conquers death, Hades, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the men who worship the beast, etc. You see, as we focus our attention on things on earth, we tend to lose the understanding. We tend to lose the blessing that what is happening on earth is the result of what is happening in heaven. And when the devil seems to be getting the victory, it's only an appearance. Things are altogether different from what they appear. The conqueror is not the devil. The victor is not the New Age movement. The victor is not communism. It is not Romanism. It is not ecumenism. The victor is Christ and those who believe in him." So here is the message. I'll sum it up very simply. Christ is glorified. Christ is ruling. Christ is coming. Therefore, rejoice, because we are overcomers, and as such, we will reign with Christ. That's the book of the Revelation in a nutshell.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.